City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Oh, I like that.
I'm Kelly Simpkins.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
In the Windy City Queer Cast, show number 372, The Survival of Pride and On to Independence Day. I'm Amy Matheny.
I'm Kelly Simpkins.
4th of July. Big memories of 4th of July?
Oh, yeah. Big memories.
Yeah?
Yeah. It was a big... The childhood we had... My dad had a friend who got all... He got just boxes upon boxes of fireworks.
Mm-hmm.
So he brought over tons of fireworks. We had tons of people over. Always did ribs.
Yeah.
Grilled out. Barbecue. Barbecue ribs on the grill.
Yeah.
Firecrackers all outside everywhere, shooting off bottle rockets. My dad would always do all of these firecrackers in a trash can and light the whole thing. So it was
good
just
Lord. A... What was he? He's a redneck, like
he was
us.
He's a redneck. That's cool. Yeah. So those are my memories. I mean, not.
We always made home churned ice cream on the 4th of July.
Did you somehow... say churned?
Churned. Is that what you do?
I guess you churn.
You churn it. It's really hard to make when before they made the
machine. Do you have sympathy for the Amish churning their own butter?
I do. Well, I like the Amish. I have a fascination with the Amish. So the churning is just part of the whole process and the whole processes by which the Amish fascinate me.
Uh-huh. Okay.
It's
didn't
true.
Know where you were going with that.
I lived in Pennsylvania one summer. You'll be in Pennsylvania pretty soon. And the whole summer, you would see road signs where you normally, I was used to seeing the yellow signs where it was children crossing or something. You'd see a person, a mother and a child stick
Amish
figure.
Amish crossing.
They have little horse and buggy, little Amish crossing signs.
Of course they do.
And I would like follow them.
They are fascinating. There's some great movies about the Amish, actually.
Yes.
There's that coming of age movie about all the Amish teenagers kind of thing. What's it called? Like The Devil's Playground or something?
Oh, I don't remember.
Was it Sundance?
I just know that I would try to find the Amish because they're tucked away.
Is that like Where's Waldo?
It was a little. It was like, oh, on our days off, it was like, let's go follow the Amish buggy signs and see if they link us to an Amish community. We have Amish. We have photographs in our house of the Amish.
What would you do when you would find them?
I would join them and help them churn.
You would not.
I would sew on buttons. They use buttons and not zippers, right?
Isn't that one of their things? I have no idea. I'm not that
fascinated. Oh, well, anyhow. I don't know. Kelly McGillis and Witness. Come on. Need we say more?
Well, I don't know.
Need we? We finally, we all survived Pride. And we are on now to this long holiday weekend. And you and I haven't watched movies in a while.
We haven't been to the movies in a while.
We've been to the movies in a while, watched movies in a while. We actually haven't seen each other in a while. We see each other while we record a podcast upon occasion and brushing our teeth.
It's like ships passing in the night.
It's true. Yeah. So do you know what was going on last weekend while people were doing Pride? I was doing a lot of straight weddings. One night only last Saturday in Rosemont, they had a cougar convention.
Wow.
Now, where was I?
Is that the old ladies meaning cougars or the animal cougars?
This is the ladies. Don't call them old. They are seasoned and hot.
The seasoned...
I don't know what. They are saucy and seasoned and hot.
Middle-aged, sexy women.
Yes, we're entering this group. This is
what
I'm discovering.
So is it a convention where young ladies go to find a cougar, or all the older, elderly ladies with good moisturizers go and hobnob together, or they talk about their sexual escapades?
Like, I really don't know, but I'm so sad that I missed it. Well, I believe it's a straight cougar convention, probably, primarily. So maybe my influence next year could actually add, like, the lesbian cougar experience.
Top five cougars, Amy. We should do that. Who are your top five cougs?
Top five cougs.
Don't just answer. don't buy yourself time. Top five cougs. Come on. Five.
Helen Mirren.
All right.
That's a teaser for our show today. Helen Mirren. No, I can't do that.
Okay. All five.
Helen Mirren. Julianne Moore.
Mm-hmm.
Which we'll talk about. I guess her long lost sister Demi Moore would have to be, and she's
for
with
someone
Ashton.
Who espouses being a cougar lover, you would think your top five would just be in your back pocket. You'd think that would whip
Renee
out.
Russo.
Okay.
And Diane Lane.
Okay. Well, I don't know that.
Is that five?
That's five, but I don't. I mean,
probably
Helen
have
Mirren
more.
Would
10
be
would.
A coug. I mean, what is the coug differential in terms of age? Is it 10? 10 plus?
I don't know. I think that, you know, it's really established based on the young men that they're with, you know. So Ashton Kutcher being in his 20s, he could be with a 40-year-old woman and she's a cougar.
Uh-huh.
You know, you could be 20.
Or a MILF.
Well, but then they'd
have
to be
MILF?
A child. Then they'd have to have a child. A cougar
and
necessarily
she does.
Doesn't
Demi
need...
Moore has
well, she does.
Several children. So she would be, she could go to the MILF convention as well.
She could. She and Ashton could be keynote speakers.
That would
speakers.
Probably be two very different conventions, the cougar
I
and the
think
MILF.
So. I
although maybe you could just cross the street to each convention and they could
yeah,
just go
they
in
could,
tandem.
Exactly. I mean, here's the thing. I think that it's a term that many people are offended by, but I think it's I kind of like the term.
I don't know how I feel. I like saying coug.
Coug. That sounds disgusting.
Coug. No, it does. It sounds sexual. It sounds like
I mean
something you would call the paraphernalia of a
yeah. I mean they cougar. Obviously talk about the cougars being of course the most iconic would be Mrs. Robinson, would be
the
fantastic Bancroft.
Whom I met once.
You did?
Who was
oh, you've
incredibly
told that story
dear.
On here. Yeah, I she's gorgeous.
I don't know that I've ever was incredibly dear. She was super sweet.
She's gorgeous and was
she
smart.
Is was gorgeous.
Demi Moore is of course seen as Kim Cattrall because of the Sex and the City. I mean, she's kind of the quintessential modern Mrs. Robinson, I guess.
I've waited on her several times, as you will
Kim Cattrall?
Very sweet, too.
Yeah.
Very sweet.
Gosh.
Beautiful.
Your proximity to all these cougars and you don't like the
she's
older women.
She's hotter in person than she is on television.
Oh, I'm sure.
She's quite an extraordinary looking woman, that Kim Cattrall.
And then they, of course, mention Courtney Cox, who is on the Cougar Town.
Well, I guess.
So one should have to. Be that. Mm-hmm. But I think you have
would
to be...
Would Willie Nelson be a cougar?
Willie Nelson would be a cowboy who tames the cougar. I don't know. I don't know. You know, it's really interesting, though, because, I mean, obviously, I've always had this fascination with older women. And the interesting thing is that as you age, can you still call, you know, if you still like women that are... exponentially older than you, then...
Can you be a cougar-loving cougar?
Could you be a cougar-loving cougar?
I think you will always be a cougar-loving cougar. I will probably just be a cougar.
I think you will probably just love the Latin girls.
I love some young ones. It's
I don't love the young ones.
I know, it's sad.
Maybe it's going to happen for me, though. I don't know. It's good for you if I just keep liking people who age, because you're going to age.
Thank you.
And
thank you.
It's bad for me that you're going to go out and find a hot tamale.
Look that way. Wow.
It's really, really sad.
I find some older women incredibly
okay,
amazing.
Who are your top five cougars?
Oh, Helen Mirren would certainly be in
mine. Yeah, but you can't even go there. We cannot share the Mirren. Can't happen. She's looking at me forlornly and with such pain in her face.
I'm not looking at you forlornly. I'm looking at you like, who died and gave you ownership?
Queercast, why don't you all answer that? My love for the Mirren is legend.
I had...
It doesn't matter. What have you done with
that
love?
You don't
How have you espoused that? How have you had a
poetry? I don't have my own show. You have had a decade to espouse. That's not fair.
People now on my Facebook say, whenever I think you read an article on sexy Helen Mirren, I think of sending it to you. I got another one today. It's so great.
When I see milky breasts in a tub, I think of sending it to you.
That's exactly right. That's how it happens. It's truly
who would
how it
be
happens.
My top five? I can think of... Cherry Jones.
Oh, Cherry that, Jones.
Oh, she's
a friend,
no,
though. That would make me... feel a little weird.
That is weird. No, she's just someone I love, and
it's okay. You can want her a little bit. She doesn't listen
me.
To
no,
our
I,
show.
I really don't. That's
much.
Not. No, I just I.
Deneuve.
Deneuve's
a good one.
Deneuve.
What about Julie Christie? She would probably be. If you give me 10, Julie Christie would be up there.
I don't know about her. I don't even know if some of them are cougars.
I don't know.
I don't either.
Are they older than you?
Well, yeah, but not by much. Okay. I mean, like 5 years, 10 years.
10 years. 10 years will
10 work.
10 years? Mm-hmm. If you can find you some nice 50-something women.
40-something,
okay,
I'll have to 40-something,
think about 50-something
this. I'll have to come
women.
Back, and I really do. I take back the Cherry Jones.
All right.
Because I just really love her.
Cherry, we take that back.
Not that she's not sexy and lovely, but...
Yeah.
You can't cross
you
that
can't,
line.
Like,
you
the...
can't have a childhood, like a young 20s, like teens hero... And cross over into Cougar Town. You can't.
It's not
just,
true.
It's
you can
not...
have the woman on Modern Family, though. She'd be a MILF, maybe. I don't think
Julie,
she really has gills. No.
Gills? What'd you say?
Kids.
Oh, I said I don't think she has gills.
She has gills. No,
that's
no,
like,
no.
That's not a cougar, that's
the Latin, the Colombian.
This is weird. This podcast is going to get more comments or not be listened to at all.
Click. It's clicked off. Well, anyhow. I mention all of that because, well, I would, because I'm ticked off, A, that I wasn't there. And B, because...
You were missed.
I was totally missed. Next year, I'm sure I will be a keynote speaker. We had the opportunity to see Chloe, the film with Julianne Moore.
I was like, is she a cougar?
Julianne Moore and Chloe Sevigny. Is that her name?
No.
What is her name?
Amanda Siegfried.
Amanda Siegfried. God, sorry.
Wow.
I was thinking of Swimming Pool, which is a very different film, kind of similar.
That's the Charlotte Rampling. She would be one of my cougs. That is absolutely
Pat
true.
Pat Kane would join you on that
Pat
one.
Pat Kane, come aboard. She is foxy.
Yeah. I saw Diane Keaton with her the other day. Diane Keaton. Mm. You're getting there. You're getting to the cougs
now. I got three good ones. Cougar
Town. You're bringing it on, girl.
I don't want any theme song with my five. Please. I just want to privately have my own little moment.
Okay. So as we leave the cougar conversation,
yes,
I do
please.
Need to say, and hopefully if you stayed with us, you will be excited about this. But the lovely Richard Knight Jr., who is our movie queen and gives us our movie reviews here on the Queercast, called me saying he got 8 minutes with the Mirren. That would be the Helen Mirren, cougar number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, according to Amy Matheny.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a little recording of Richard Knight Jr. talking with Helen Mirren about Love Ranch, her new film.
I'm
where once
surprised
again, she
you've
plays
left
a cougar.
Our home.
I'm surprised that, I'm here. I'm here. And let me tell you, there's a little special something in it for me. And that's always good. So that's what I'll say. I'll leave that there. And I have said on my Oprah application, you know, my favorite celebrity is Helen Mirren. So if I get my own talk show, I'll have an hour with her sometime.
Wow.
So Richard called me and said, you want to dash down to my house to do this interview? And I said, no, you have your 8 minutes because I'm going to have an hour
my
with
45.
Her. I'm going to have my 50 minutes with her at some point.
That would
and
be
that would
exciting.
Be 5-0. But anyhow, so Helen Mirren on the Queercast today. Never thought I would
what
say that.
What could be more thrilling than that?
What could be more thrilling than that? And you know what's really cool is that he gets to talk to her about the gay community, about her sexuality. He really...
About losing Chase?
We'll see. Mm. You know, he kind of talked to me and said, you know all things Mirren so quickly. What would you be interested in? And so mm-hmm. we talked about it. So that's extremely, extremely exciting.
I got you the Mirren book last Christmas.
You got me the Mirren book last Thrilling. Christmas. Yeah, and she's appearing on things right now because she's promoting this. And we should just say... That's what you want to do. Theme songs. No theme songs to our guest today. We also should say, and you brought this up right before we started recording, that should we mention Iceland? Not in our news today, but we have a lot of news from the past week because a lot of gay things happen around the gay pride weeks, legislation and all kinds of things. But the prime minister of Iceland married her partner, which is,
world leader.
There you go. So she's a cougar. She's a powerful cooter. She's runs a country.
Not a cooter. A cooter. See, that's what's gross about it. It's shaving the line between.
What does an Icelandic accent sound like? I wonder how she would
listen
say.
Listen to Björk.
Yeah, listen to Björk. We have left. We have gone to a whole other dimension.
What did I say right before we sat down? I couldn't be more exhausted.
Yeah, you are exhausted.
This is what happened.
This is what happens, guys. I wait to get her really tired to give you the good stuff.
Better than, well.
The good crazy stuff. We also need to say there are a couple of...
Did we say anything about Chloe? Or did we just ramp over that?
Well, we did. I mean, we watched it. Julianne Moore getting it on with...
Amanda Siegfried.
Which was major cougar.
Without Roy.
25 without Roy. She's 25.
She is
and
hot
she's 50.
To trot.
The 25-year-old?
I don't know how old she is, but I would take that redhead in a heart. I would take them both.
You would take the redhead. She's blonde. The young one is blonde.
I would take both.
I know.
I would butter both of those breads and stick my ass in the middle of that beautiful cougar young tight skin bun. That was extraordinary, the way those two there were some
good chemistry
moments.
Yeah, and it was the film, I mean, on a sad note, it was the film that Liam Neeson was shooting in Toronto. I could totally tell it was filmed in Toronto. But
are you sure that was the one?
It was the one he was filming when Natasha died. So you know, I mean, he's a very much a secondary character, but interesting that's historically going to be known as that. Also, I just want to say one other thing that's not in our news that I want to mention is just that Senator Robert Byrd, he was the Democrat from West Virginia, and who would have thought great things came out of West Virginia besides our dog, our lovely little dog. But he did so much for West Virginia, and he had many, many votes over the years that were very controversial and not where... people in his state would have stood, or where middle Americana would have stood on issues. But he really was a forethinker with Don't Ask, Don't Tell. 17 years ago, he voted against Don't Ask, Don't Tell when it was put in place, stupidly so. And, you know, and he voted... last month in the Senate Armed Services Committee, he voted for this new path that they're starting to seek that hopefully will repeal the law. It's looking very, very hopeful. So anyhow, his passing this past week. And so anyhow, he was, you know, something to be said that we can't write off all of these southern states, that the leaders, you know, aren't doing things. And I mean, I just think he was a renegade, you know, and sometimes you didn't know where he was going to fall on an issue, but he really fell on our side with this issue. So very, very sad.
Hopefully. Come on, people.
Absolutely. And then the other really interesting story that just came out, so I wanted to mention it here on the show because it's really relevant to our next podcast, which is going to be about an anti-violence project called Queertopia that's being done here in Chicago with the About Face Youth Theater. That is their theme this year, is about anti-violence. And I'm going to be speaking next week on the podcast just really about our young GLBTQ community and what they face every day that's very different living in this environment. We think, well, you know, they're out, they're proud, they're queer, they have so many more representations, but what they're getting is a lot more push against that. You know, the more out, it's the way the pendulum's swinging, you know, the hate is more on the surface, the bullying is more blatant. These things aren't as tucked away now because the kids are living their authentic lives, and it's frightening to kids who are born in homes that breed that kind of hate and violence. So really huge legislation that came out with our Illinois governor, Pat Quinn. He made Illinois the 9th state to enact an enumerated anti-bullying bill that explicitly protects LGBTQ students from bullying. And this is a really huge thing. It passed overwhelmingly in both chambers in Springfield. And New York has also passed a law. They did that, and they will become the 10th state. We will be 9, so we will be ahead of New York. They will be the 10th state. So obviously there's going to be a lot more information on this and a lot more reports coming out, some from the Gay and Lesbian and Straight Education Network. And I just think it's going to be extraordinary what we see coming out of this. I mean, we have in the past 6 months now then seen the Matthew Shepard hate crimes bill, and now this bill starting to pass, and some of the key states that I think will turn legislation, and hopefully more and more states. So we're a fifth of the way there with 10 states now, mm-hmm. and Illinois is one of them. So that's really, really exciting. There's a lot else on the news. We're going to tell you what's going on there and what all is going on in the theater scene, and then the Mirren here. The Cougar, the Mirren, the Dame, with the movie queen, Richard Knight Jr., and a little something in it for me, coming up.
Hi there. I'm a Miller Lite Brewmaster.
And I'm a Miller Lite Drinkmaster.
It's the Brewmaster Drinkmaster Show.
You know, most people know that Miller Lite tastes great, but up until now, only brewmasters like me knew why.
Well, most people know that my friends and I are the most dominating presence in the Kalamazoo Western Division Level 3 Softball League, but very few know why.
Huh. You see, we add the hops first for flavor, second for balance, and a third time to lock in the great Pilsner taste by enhancing the foamy head.
Yeah, well, we don't need fancy softball strategery to win.
We call it the triple hops brewing process.
Well, we call it heart, Mr. Man.
We're on the same team here. I thought you would appreciate this new information.
I apologize. I just wish I had something as important to share.
Well, buy a six-pack of Miller Lite and you will.
Miller Lite brewmasters have to know the ins and outs of triple hops brewing. The only thing you have to do is enjoy the great-tasting light beer. Miller Lite. Great taste, less filling. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Live responsibly.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is The Week in News.
President Barack Obama has expanded the rights of gay and lesbian workers by letting them take medical leave to care for their partner's sick or newborn children. A 1993 statute allows employees who work in companies with at least 50 workers to 12 weeks of unpaid leave to care for spouses, children, or newborns. The Human Rights Campaign helped the administration craft the family leave policy. The Department of Labor set forth the policy on June 23rd.
Columbia Law School's Sexuality and Gender Law Clinic has won asylum for a gay man who feared persecution based on his sexual orientation if he had to return to his native Uzbekistan. In Uzbekistan, a Central Asian republic, homosexuality is illegal, with offenders sentenced up to 3 years in prison.
Openly gay Maryland State Senator Richard S. Madalano Jr. was among those at President Barack Obama's Father's Day mentoring barbecue. Madalano, who has two adopted children, was one of many fathers at the event, where leaders from different fields had dinner and listened to a speech from the chief executive.
In Minnesota, Lavender Magazine outed anti-gay minister the Reverend Tom Brock, who will probably keep his position. A Lavender reporter witnessed Brock, who heads Hope Lutheran Church in Minneapolis, attending a meeting for those dealing with same-sex attraction. However, church officials are supporting Brock because he is reportedly abstaining from sex and is attending a gay support group.
The presence of gay rights activist Will Phillips as Grand Marshal of the Fayetteville, Arkansas Gay Pride Parade on June 26 sparked controversy across the nation because Phillips is only 10 years old. Last November, Phillips refused to recite the Pledge of Allegiance as a sign of his support of gay rights. The American Family Association has called Phillips' appearance a form of child abuse and wanted the mayor to not issue a gay pride proclamation.
In Massachusetts, The state's chapter of Join the Impact held a rally to bring attention to a gay bashing committed June 12th by two Marines in Savannah, Georgia. Kieran Daly, an openly gay civilian, was with friends when Marines Kyle Kronauer and Christopher Stanzel accused him of winking at them. One then hit Daly, causing a concussion. Kronauer and Stanzel may have violated the federal Matthew Shepard hate crimes law because the South Carolina-based Marines crossed state lines.
Wisconsin's District 4 Court of Appeals has ruled that a woman who raised two adopted children while in a same-sex relationship is not a parent under state law. The woman was with another woman for 7 years before adopting two children, the first in 2002. Wisconsin law does not allow same-sex couples to adopt, which means that only one member of the couple can be deemed the legal parent.
San Francisco Mayor Gavin Newsom has again provided funding for the Transgender Economic Empowerment Initiative. The funding was not in the proposed budget Newsom put forth on June 1st, but he has now included funding for the initiative, a collaborative that includes the Transgender Law Center and the San Francisco LGBT Community Center. The funding is almost $240,000.
In Alabama, the hosts of the syndicated radio program The Rick and Bubba Show have derided the concept of Gay Pride Month and have angered some listeners in the process. Rick Burgess talked for almost 10 minutes about how President Obama's proclamation of June as Pride Month asked U.S. citizens to embrace sin for a month and celebrate it, with co-host Bill Bubba Busey calling the proclamation hilarious.
The Texas Republican Party has voted on a platform that takes a conservative approach to sex, to say the least. The state's GOP has voted on a platform that would not allow oral and anal sex, outlaw strip clubs and pornography, and that would jail anyone who issues marriage licenses to gay and lesbian couples. The 25-page proposal also says that homosexuality tears at the fabric of society, contributes to the breakdown of the family unit, and leads to the spread of dangerous communicable diseases.
The Centers for Disease Control is awarding a 5-year grant totaling more than $1.5 million to the Minnesota AIDS Project. The funds would go toward HIV prevention services for young bisexual and gay men throughout the state, specifically those with substance abuse issues.
The Philadelphia Police Department has a new GLBT liaison. Stephen T. Johnson, a 32-year veteran, replaces Chief Inspector James Tiano, who is retiring. Johnson is the Deputy Commissioner of Homeland Security and Domestic Preparedness.
In response to the National Organization for Marriage's plans to have an anti-marriage equality tour this summer, Freedom to Marry is launching a tour to promote same-sex marriage. Freedom's rallies will take place in 17 states and Washington, D.C. over the next 2 months.
In world news, in England, Mark Carter, a police officer in 2006 Mr. Gay UK, is being charged with several offenses, including the rape of another man, related to a situation that occurred last year. Carter appeared at Leeds Magistrates Court to face accusations of one rape, three sexual assaults, and an attempted sexual assault. Carter is out on bail and will appear at Leeds Crown Court on June 29th.
Julia Gillard has made history as Australia's first female prime minister, but she is not the most fervent supporter of same-sex marriage. She has said, "The government's position is very clear that marriage is marriage between a man and a woman," before adding, "But I understand that there are other forms of committed adult relationships and that people want them registered and recognized."
In Albania, U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton recently talked about Clodion Sela, a man who came out on that country's version of the TV show Big Brother. Sela's coming out in February led to several anti-gay protests in his hometown of Leja. Clinton said Sela was invited to an event at our embassy, conveying to all Albanians that the United States supports his rights and respects his courage.
England's York University has conducted a study showing that gay men recall faces better than heterosexual men because they use both sides of their brains like women do. Heterosexual males tend to rely on the right hemisphere of their brains only. Study participants had to memorize photographs of 10 faces and differentiate them from 50 others shown to them for only a few seconds each.
And in entertainment news, the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation is asking people to join calls for the Spanish-language talk show José Luis Sin Censura to stop using anti-gay terms and apologize to viewers. Audience members chanted anti-gay terms maricón and puñal and others in the June 8th and 10th segments of the program. GLAAD's efforts resulted in KFC and Chevrolet pulling their ads from the program.
Lady Gaga got past security and visited the Yankees clubhouse after the team lost to the New York Mets on June 18th, and it's a no-no to visit the Yankees after they lose a home game. Yankees co-chair Hal Steinbrenner reportedly banned Gaga after finding out what she did, but general manager Brian Cashman said she is fine to visit after a win.
Singer-songwriter Vanessa Carlton, best known for her pop hit, A Thousand Miles, came out as bisexual at the Nashville Pride Festival. Carlton, who was 29, told the crowd, "I've never said this before, but I am a proud bisexual woman." She had been previously tied to Third Eye Blind singer Stephen Jenkins and musician John Mayer.
BET Networks has acquired gay favorite The Wendy Williams Show for a second season in the U.S. this fall and will air the program on its international networks in the United Kingdom, Africa, and the Middle East, and in 54 other countries starting in July.
Controversial writer Ramin Sotoudeh, who penned a Newsweek piece criticizing openly gay actors such as Jonathan Groff and Sean Hayes, who take on straight roles, has left the publication for a senior writer position at People magazine. At his new post, Sotoudeh, who is himself openly gay, will write news and human interest articles.
Lesbian tennis legend Martina Navratilova finished her breast cancer radiation treatment. Doctors diagnosed Navratilova with ductal carcinoma earlier this year after a mammogram. She then underwent a biopsy and a lumpectomy before a month and a half of radiation.
The vampires, shapeshifters, and other creatures on HBO's pansexual hit True Blood will do the Monster Mash for another year as the show has been renewed for a fourth season. The third season is currently running on Sundays.
Out actor Neil Patrick Harris will return in the third Harold and Kumar film, A Very Harold and Kumar Christmas. Harris plays the womanizing Barney on TV's How I Met Your Mother and is filming the big screen feature, The Smurfs.
Joya Bruno, a bisexual singer who was one-third of the female pop group Exposé, has been charged with trafficking methamphetamines. Bruno, 47, was apparently arrested in April 2009 in Florida and was placed on probation for 5 years.
The View guest host D.L. Hewley and regular host Sherry Shepherd reportedly perpetuated dangerous myths on the June 22nd episode as they discussed the current blood donation ban regarding gay and bisexual men, as well as the prevalence of HIV among African-American women. Hewley and Shepherd talked about men on the down low, and Shepherd blamed the high HIV rate on women having unprotected sex with men who have been having sex with men.
And Jersey Shore, remember that show? Regulars Ronnie Ortiz Magro, Vinny Guadagnino, and Mike the Situation Sorrentino are on the cover of the Village Voices queer issue. However, the trio reportedly did not know how their pictures would be used. The publication hit newsstands on June 23rd with The Queer Issue at the top with the headline The Guido Ideal, a story about gay Jersey Guidos on the down low. Sorrentino responded on his Facebook page, "It's not for me to judge somebody's sexual preference, and in my opinion, the situation looks good as hell, and that is my main concern." And that, my friends, is the Week in News brought to you by Windy City Times.
Hi, this is Patrick Bristow, and you are listening to the Windy City Queercast. What do you think of that?
Want to learn to play tennis in no time? Chicago's Midtown Tennis Club has the country's only patented tennis teaching program to turn beginners into players in just 3 short weeks with sessions beginning June 5th. During Tennis in No Time, participants will learn the basics, including the forehand, backhand, and serve in a fun group atmosphere. Best of all, Tennis in No Time is affordable, even in today's economic climate. Enrollment costs $115 and includes a 3-week membership to the Midtown Tennis Club, 2 social parties, and 9 hours of instruction from the country's best pros for only $115. That's less than $20 for each hour and a half lesson. Midtown Tennis Club is located in the heart of Chicago's Lincoln Park at 2020 West Fullerton Avenue. For more information on Tennis in No Time, visit midtown.com/Chicago.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week. week of June 28th, 2010, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Writers Theater, A Streetcar Named Desire, directed by the nationally acclaimed David Cromer, is the not-to-be-missed show of the summer. The Wall Street Journal proclaims, no matter where you live or what you're doing this summer, go to Chicago and see Writers Theater's Streetcar. And Time Out Chicago gave it the rare 5 stars. Order your tickets today at writerstheater.org. Tickets are selling out.
The new play, Fucking Men, observes the lives of 10 gay men from all walks of life as they negotiate the before and after of lust, love, and the pursuit of sex and emotional connection. Now through July 25th at the Theater Building, visit femenchicago.com. That's femenchicago.com for tickets and more information. And for more Culture Club, visit windycitytimes.com.
Hello, Deb Pierce here, letting you know that we'd love to hear back from you, so go ahead. You know you want to. Post a comment.
Have you ever fed a lover with just your hands? Close your eyes and trust it. Just trust it. Have you ever thrown a fistful of glitter in the air? Have you ever looked fear in the face and said, I just don't care? It's only half past the point of no return, the tip of the iceberg, the sun before the burn, the thunder before the lightning, and the breath before the phrase. Have you ever felt this way?
Well, everyone, it's only taken 12 plus years in the making, but yes, I have finally gotten a shout out from the Mirren, the Helen Mirren, the dame. If you listen to the podcast, you know that I have a love affair that is, well, it's constant with Helen Mirren. And the amazing Richard Knight Jr. gave me a call and said, guess what? I'm getting some minutes with the Mirren to talk about her new film, Love Ranch, and also to just chat about whatever. What do you think? What should I ask? And Richard really had a number of good moments with her to talk about her influence, her support of the gay community and the gay community's support of her, her sexuality, the types of roles that she's picked. And, you know, she comes through smelling like an English rose that she is, a Russian English rose. So I'm very excited to have, for the first time ever on our Queercast, Helen Mirren and Richard Knight Jr. Chatting with her very quickly. And I have to say, Richard, thank you so much for mentioning my love. So hope you enjoy it. And Richard Knight Jr., we're going to go right to it, right in the meat of it with Helen Mirren.
Hi, Richard.
Hi, Helen.
How are you?
We're the Dame Helen.
Helen's fine.
Greetings from your huge, huge queer fan base in Chicago.
Oh, love it. Hi, Chicago.
Where it's raining cats and dogs.
Oh, no, it's beautiful. I'm looking out, I'm afraid, of the sunny Californian sky.
So let's just jump right in. From Countess Sophia to her Bordello Madam.
Yes, yes.
Boy, you know, it seems like a stretch, but really, it's not. It's like a lot of your characters, you know, great passion, they're intelligent, there's a certain world weariness.
Yes, yes. Actually, you know, in terms of shooting, I did Love Ranch before I did Last Station.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it just took a long time for the film to be completed and distributed, but that was the way around. I did them, it's true. Yes. Well, I guess maybe when you get to a certain age, you know, that's the name of the game. You know, world weariness. what two great characters? How lucky am I, really? You know, to go, you've reminded me, I'd completely forgotten about Sophia. You know, to go from Sophia Tolstoy, to go from a Grace Bontempo to Sophia Tolstoy, I mean, fantastic. In basically 1 year, I think I shot both of those in 1 year.
And And it speaks to, of course, your wonderful range. I'm thinking of Countess, because that's just out on DVD as well. And
oh, great.
Just watched it. And so how lovely was it to finally do a project with your husband?
Oh, it was so great. It was so great to have someone to go home with. You know, 99% of my working life, I go off to my little hotel room or my rented apartment on my own, you know, just sort of put my head down. It's like going into a nunnery, really, you know, going off to do a film. And here I had someone to play with at the weekend. I had someone to hang with, you know. It was just great. Having said that, you know, on the set, we lived separate lives.
Yeah.
You know, I was the actress, he was the director, you know, you'd never have guessed that I was his wife. If a stranger had walked onto the set, didn't know, I don't think they would have guessed that we were married.
Well, that speaks to, of course, to both your professionalism, which is lovely.
Except when occasionally I told him to shut up.
Yeah, as soon as he stopped.
I would never normally
right.
do any direction.
Stop that.
My husband.
So women are finally big box office again, which is so lovely,
yes.
says the gay man
yes.
who
yes.
loves chick flicks. Yes. So when are you going to do a film with Meryl or Bette or Cheryl, Liza or Barbara or gay icons
oh,
like yourself?
Whenever anyone asks. Whenever they, you know, it's the script that's difficult. It's difficult to find the right, good, wonderful, work that we all want to do. Once it comes along, you know, we'll all jump at it. Because women actually love to work with other women. They love it. They have a ball. Because we get to do it so rarely. All of our working lives, you know, we spend, on a set with 150 guys, basically, and about 3 women. It's getting better, but, we'd love to work with other actresses.
Well, I love that actually a couple of your roles coming up, they've switched the gender, and you've just worked with Julie Taymor. Or are you doing that now?
No, we did that. That's finished. That will be showing in. That'll be showing in Venice.
Lovely.
Yeah.
So a difference between working with a male director, your husband, and a female director like Julie Taymor?
No.
Nothing.
No, very similar.
Okay.
Both obsessed. Both obsessive. Both unbelievably energetic. Both totally committed. And visionary, you know. I mean, every director is different because, you know, they're different artists and they all have their own visions and their own, you know, the story they want to tell and the way they want to tell it is all individual to every director. But that said, they all have the same, they have very similar characteristics as well. And I would say especially, incidentally, Taylor and Julie. They're very, you know, it's not a loosey-goosey situation on either of their film sets.
Well, I love that, I don't know how it's happening, that producers or writers or directors want to work with you so much that they're changing the gender. That they changed
well,
the gender.
Well, no, it was just, you know, The Tempest was something Julie and I both agreed could work. She'd done the play a couple of times before, so she knew the play really, really well. Which was a great advantage. And I had seen the play fairly recently and thought, you know what, you could do this as a woman. You know, I was longing to play a really great Shakespearean role, but I didn't want to play Volumnia. You know, Volumnia's boring.
Yeah.
You know, there's very few roles that you can play as you get older. So I thought I'd purloin...
Wait, did Helen Mirren just say there are very few roles you can play as you get older? The Queen
well,
of Maiden?
I'm talking about Shakespearean roles.
Oh, okay.
In the canon of Shakespeare.
Yeah, you know, in the Helen Mirren canon that...
There's a couple, but in comparison to the number of roles there are for men, they start getting a bit thin on the ground, the Shakespearean roles.
Yeah. Well, I love also that you're going to do Arthur and take on
yes.
the Gielgud role with
yes.
Russell Brand.
Yes.
You must be looking forward to that.
I am. I'm rather nervous, I have to confess. I'm terribly nervous, actually.
Well, you're sort of the queen of offbeat casting. You do it so well. You did it in this film with Joe Pesci.
Yeah.
Did it so beautifully with my beloved Lee Daniels.
Oh, yes. Don't you love Lee?
Oh, my gosh.
He's great.
My gosh. I think he's the one when you do the lesbian film with Ellen DeGeneres.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Lee to direct.
He's like the perfect guy for that, right?
Yeah, he is. Perfect.
Oh, man.
He and Ellen might clash horns a bit. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Of course, you're so aware that you have this huge lesbian fan base.
Yeah. Which I'm very proud of.
Which, absolutely. And with this New York Magazine photo shoot.
Oh, yes. Oh, gosh. Yes. Well.
I think your pinups just went up all over town and leading town.
Yeah. Not a pinup, though. I hope it's a very naturalistic photo. You know, that was, I think, the intention.
Well, you know,
I'm bold and bare. You know,
absolutely.
A bare from the neck up rather than from
yeah,
the neck
and
down.
And it gets into that kind of thing we've talked about, sort of being a little bit rebellious. But a good friend of mine, a lesbian, who does her podcast, I'm going to ask if you'll give her a shout out at the end. She said, you know, I think one reason why I love the Mirren, because you're just called the Mirren.
Oh, yeah.
And why we love the Mirren so much is because you're so free sexually, or seem to be, and that really appeals to
yeah.
the queer community. Would you agree with that assessment?
I don't know. I mean, I try to be. You know, by nature, I'm rather, I think, maybe rather uptight. But all my life, I've kind of fought against my own bourgeois tendencies, if you like, because I kind of disapprove of them in theory. And so I've tried to be as open and as real as possible. But having said that, you know, I also love unreality. I love theatre, and I love dressing up, and I love fancy, and I love, you know, glitter, and I love platform meals, and I love sequins and feathers, and I love all of that. So,
are we just saying that you're
essential? I think we're allowed to all of that. I think we're allowed it all. Who's to make rules, you know?
Well,
and so-called liberated people sometimes make the harshest rules of all.
Yeah, which is so odd, so strange. I know the title, I have to ask this, the title said Prime Suspect, The Final Act, but please, say it ain't so. Are we ever going to see some more Jane Tennyson?
No. Jane,
oh?
No, Jane has passed indeed.
It broke my heart.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what? You just have to watch reruns. That'll do it.
That'll do it.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, it's Gay Pride Month. Your movie's opening Gay Pride. How are you going to celebrate?
Oh, gosh, I'll probably be celebrating as usual by working, you know, and celebrating all the incredible gay people that I've worked with over the years. And you know, one of the things, I get so enraged by bigotry and homophobia. And in my profession, obviously, we owe so much to the gay community. Writers, directors, you know, designers, on every level, of every corner of my professional life, I've worked with brilliant, brilliant gay people, men and women, and I personally owe them so much. So, you know, it's a debt that I recognize, that I owe, and the sort of idiocy of homophobia and the ignorance just makes me so enraged. So, you know, for great Gay Pride month, week, day, you know, I will personally just be celebrating all those incredible people that I've worked with.
Well, thank you. We'll be celebrating you from now until the end of the movie.
Yeah. Oh, brilliant.
Can you just give me a shout-out to Amy Matheny, who is our Windy City Queer Cast? She loves you so much. She's the one that calls you the Mirren.
Oh, hey, Amy. Love you too, darling. And, you know, hopefully we'll meet one of these days.
I think you just
we
might.
Have to
When are you coming to Chicago so we can kneel at your feet?
Yes, I'll come. I will. I haven't been to Chicago for ages. I love Chicago.
Okay, well.
Yeah.
It was lovely speaking with you, and congratulations on the new film.
Thank you, sweetheart.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Got something to say? Call us today. 312-21-BE-GAY.
So, Kelly.
Yes?
Have some barbecue on your 4th of July.
Don't know that that'll happen, but I'll be thinking about it.
Okay. And you're going to be dealing with our lovely little pooch who's going to be in her own personal Beirut here during the 4th of July.
It's going to be sad.
Maybe people have
some... get her something. If anyone has a holistic doggy remedy for fear of the firecracker...
Yeah.
then there's great fear of the firecracker.
Very much, yeah.
Yeah, it's already started. Please write in. Send us your homeopathic, not anything over the counter for us, but for dogs, something sweet and lovely that will cradle her in her personal Vietnam.
Oh, it's so, bless her heart. It's so, and with all these storms, we've been having the storms and now the fireworks, and I don't know. I'm having my own personal fireworks that Helen Mirren has personally appeared now here on the Queercast and has sent out love and shout out to me.
Well, you can't send your own personal bottle rocket out until you have her on your own personal talk show. So come on, people, get them votes out.
Yeah, you've only got until Saturday, July 3rd,
July
to 3rd. Vote for me at tinyurl.com/AmyOprah. Helen wants me to win because she knows the interview is lined up. So, there you go. So everybody else, help me keep the energy alive all the way through July 3rd, and I will keep you posted. And as you know, I will be an out and proud member of the community on any of these ventures. So let's get another gay on the TV.
Yeah,
that's what
that
I say.
That way I'll meet Tilda Swinton.
And that could be my second interview for
Wowza.
You. We'll talk about that next time,
That'll
maybe.
That'll be exciting.
That'll be good. Everybody, happy 4th of July. Enjoy your Monday off if you get a long week. Enjoy the weekend if that's what you get. We just hope you find a little time to celebrate, be with people, be outside, and enjoy your independence. Right after we get proud and out, we feel the independence.
We get free.
We get free. Whee!
Take them shackles off. Eat
Take
some
them
barbecue.
Off. And find a cougar.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This program is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast. Queer and now.